Morning, Chapel Hill.
Morning.
Thanks for coming out this morning. You're going to need your Bibles as we jump back into the book of Matthew together, so go ahead and get those Bibles out. Open up those Bible apps, et cetera, et cetera. If you do not have a Bible to follow along in this morning, just put your hand up. Our ushers are coming around. They'll give you a Bible that you can use to follow along in and keep if you don't have one. All right. That was a really moving time of just declaring our dependence on Jesus, isn't it? I mean, this is it. This is what we need. I know that many of you are facing really tough things right now, and so that reality that we have hope, we have somewhere to turn to, we have someone to turn to is such an encouragement. It's something we have to hang on to, and we're going to talk a little more this morning about who it is that we're hanging on to and just how much he means to us, how much he contributes to our lives, what we can draw from him. And so I'm going to start off this morning over here on the far side of the stage here, talking about the stuff that's up here, just so that you don't think for any amount of time that we just accidentally forgot all this stuff up on the stage and no one cleaned it up. That's not why it's here. I want to talk a little bit about learning this morning. I like to consider myself a lifelong learner, nothing that's unique to me. I think that's true of all of us. We are all lifelong learners. There will never be a point in our lives when we're not learning anymore. There will never be a point where we just arrive and go, all right, I've got it. I've accomplished it all. I have learned it all. I know it all. I'm done. Check the box. My life is complete. That's not how it works. We're always learning, and my life has been an example of that, of just always soaking things in, always looking for new opportunities to grow, to transform, to develop, all that kind of stuff. It's something that I've just pursued constantly. I sometimes will just go, you should just brag and tell them you've been to 3 colleges. Well, I have been to 3 colleges for a grand total of 5 years. No one college took up like the whole 4 years even. So it's not like I've got all these major academic accomplishments on my resume. I just kept going back because it was the right time at different times. My first college experience, it was not the right time. It was not right for me to be there. It was my call. I went. I spent a year there. It was a terrible year, and I got out, and I was told not to come back. It was a bad experience. Years later, back to school. This time, it was God's plan, and I went and studied agriculture. And then years later, again, God's plan. Back to school. I went and studied missions, cross-cultural studies, and just absorbed so much. I love learning. I love doing that, and ever since that, those college experiences, I've never stopped. I'm always looking for the next seminar, the next conference, the next webinar, all these different opportunities that I have to learn. I like to read. I like to research. I like to just dive into things. And so it's just been a part of my life, a part of who I am. In our most recent college experience, my wife and I attended Bethany College of Missions in Bloomington. And when we went there, we went for further education in cross-cultural studies. And I found myself in an anthropology class again. Back when I was studying agriculture, I was an agriculture technology major, and I minored and audited the anthropology course. And loved it, had a great time with it. This is something that's just been a draw for me my whole life. I want to study cultures. I want to study human history and the human existence all around the world because there's such diversity. It's such an incredible thing. You can never stop learning about what's going on around the world. And so I got into this anthropology class. And it reminded me, because back in my agriculture class, I had taken that anthropology course as well. And the teacher in there, he loved me. He said, no, I'm just bragging here. He loved me. I was great. I was a perfect student. I was auditing, so I never actually had to take any tests. But he attached himself to me because he said, Paul, you are out of 30 students in the class, he said, you're the only one taking this seriously. Because everybody else was taking it for easy credit. They just had required credits, and so that's why they're in anthropology. It was an easy class. I took it seriously. He invited me to go to Central America with him to go full-time into anthropology, but that's not what God had in mind for me. Now I'm in my second college where I'm taking anthropology at Bethany College of Missions. And we got into the study of all kinds of different things there, but we had this professor, and we struggled with him a little bit. His teaching style was a little different. And we were well remember getting to a unit on education in our anthropology class. And so he started teaching us about education from a global perspective and all these different cultures. And so he started that unit by talking about different learning styles in different cultures around the world. And he did that for a few minutes, and then, just as he did every moment of every other class that we sat in with him, he walked over to the overhead projector, turned it on, put his transparency sheet on the screen, and proceeded to read his notes word for word all the way through every transparency sheet through the entire lesson. Over and over and over again. He had just talked about all these great ways that people learn around the world and then went right back to doing that. And so, yeah, we were feeling a little disillusioned. Like, I had just come out of, and so had my wife, we had just come out of years. I had just spent 3 years in Haiti. And I was an educator. I was an agriculture teacher in Haiti. And what we had done was we were very intentional about developing education that met their culture, that met where they were. This was an entirely illiterate area. And so we didn't teach from an overhead. We taught using stories and songs and object lessons and all these different things. We actually wrote songs that went with Haitian, commonly understood, commonly known Haitian tunes, and we taught doing that. And we had just all of this creativity going. It was a phenomenal experience. And then I come back to America, and there's a reverse culture shock that happens when you do this kind of thing. And I'm right back into, okay, I'm going back to school, I'm going back to college. Let's do the overhead projector thing. And by the way, how many of you have never seen one of these in your life before, right? Like, the younger generations are like, what is that little robot he has up there? This was the way that we taught. A lot of people taught back then. My dad preached with an overhead projector. There are certain Christian teachers that were really well known that would teach from the overhead projector and occasionally underline a word on the screen. That was just their style. Here we were now in a completely different way of learning again. And I fully understand that we can learn this way. We've grown up with lectures. We've grown up in the classroom. We have grown up in a culture where it's okay for us to just listen to someone talk and maybe add some visuals and that kind of stuff. We can still learn from that. We can still learn from studying off paper, from taking notes and studying those notes. That's just a part of our culture. It's what we grew up with. But there's a point at which we just engage with other things as well. And so you'll see me do silly things from time to time, like bring a boat into this room or whatever it takes to make a point to help that lesson drive home for all of us. Well, so this was Jesus' experience, right? He comes into the world, and he comes into a culture that had very much fallen into that place where they were learning all the time, but as far as learning about the kingdom of God, learning God's laws, learning what God's vision for his world was, most of that was done in the temple where the scribes would teach. Now, then that would be sometimes passed on from parents to children, and there were even times when there was memorization of large portions of scripture done and all this kind of thing. There was a lot of that kind of education. And when Jesus came, he entered into that himself. Jesus taught in the temple. It's one of the things that he did. But he also brought this revolutionary new way of teaching that people hadn't seen or experienced before. And Jesus came and he said, enough of the overhead projector, he said, I'm going to teach using object lessons, I'm going to teach using stories, I'm going to teach using all kinds of things that you're familiar with. And so he began to engage the people around him. And you know a lot of these stories. You know when Jesus taught speaking about a tree. He even spoke about a tiny little mustard seed that would grow into a tree. He spoke about, and this is a fake ficus tree. A ficus is a fig tree, and he talked even specifically about fig trees in his teaching, in the way that he transformed people. He talked about things, and we're going to get to this. He talked about treasures. We're going to get to a parable soon about treasure And it's a really exciting one. I can't wait to get there because he did that. He talked about a sower that went out and took his first century seed spreader and went out and sowed seed in his field. We're going to talk about that next week. We're going to talk about the parable of the sower. We're going to talk about different kinds of soil because Jesus taught using things like that. He talked about soil. Jesus talked about bread. We're going to get into some of those. He referred to himself as the bread of life and used object lessons like that. He talked about light. He talked about candles and lamps and those sorts of things. He used things that were familiar to people. He talked about sheep, like this really authentic one right here, which this is one. We have a 95-pound German Shepherd, okay? And she's a she, and she never had babies. And so you go through this kind of like, well, let's get her something that she'll feel like it's her own, right? This is her own child. And so when we first started getting her these, and she's on, how many of these has she had?
Six.
Okay. She's not a very good mother. She goes through the motherly things. She cleans them and grooms them and all that kind of stuff. And then she lays down. She puts her paws on it. And then with her gigantic mouth, she grabs its head and just clamps down on it and stays that way for like 15 minutes. So anyway, Jesus taught using sheep a lot, right? He did. Not that way. But he taught using sheep. Jesus taught, I can smell them already. Jesus taught using things like I had up here recently, some smoked fish when I talked about the feeding of the thousands, right? This morning I have oysters. So if you're a big fan of oysters, you can come talk to me. I'll give you a good deal on these ones, although they smell like you may not want to buy these at this point. But once again, I'm using an actual prop that I'm going to eat later. This is to reference what Jesus talked about, which is what? What do you think I'm using here? It's pearl, right? He talked about a pearl of great value. And so Jesus used all these object lessons, all these things to draw people into the learning experience and help them understand what it was that he was trying to get across to them. He had all kinds of different things that he used because, as we know, Jesus was a teacher. He was a teacher. That was one of the descriptive terms and titles used of him. That's how he was identified. Jesus was a teacher. He has been and will continue to be my teacher. I long to learn from him. I want to learn from Jesus every single day of my life. I want that experience of being his follower and gaining insight and wisdom and perspective from him daily. All the time, disciples of Jesus are being transformed by him every day. I want that transformation. At no point in my almost 60 years of living have I been able to sit back and put my feet up and go, I think I got it all. I think I got everything that Jesus had to teach. I am his disciple, and my life has to be devoted to becoming more like him as my teacher. And that will always involve learning from him. And I mean from him, directly, from Jesus. Matthew 4:23 tells us that Jesus went throughout all Galilee teaching, proclaiming, and healing. That was his ministry. It's what he came to do. Jesus was a teacher. Matthew 5:2, the last words written before the Sermon on the Mount started, says that Jesus opened his mouth and taught them. At the end of the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew records that the crowds were astonished by his teaching because he was teaching as someone who clearly had authority. He surpassed the religious leaders of the day as the teacher of the people. In John 3:2, Jesus is referred to as a teacher come from God because God was obviously with him. John 8 records Jesus coming to the temple again, and he sat down there and taught. Jesus was and is a teacher. So is Jesus my teacher? Is Jesus your teacher? I mean, why would he ever stop being a teacher? Just because he returned to heaven to be with his Father doesn't mean that the teaching stopped. Jesus himself said that according to the new covenant that he was making with his people, and that's us, he would write his laws on the hearts and minds of his people, on our hearts, our minds. He would teach us. And church, he's doing that right now. Our calling to follow Jesus does not simply apply to a one-time decision that we make at some point to get our name on a list. As Jesus followers, we are now and forever Jesus students. And to make that relationship most effective, Jesus left us his Spirit to live in us, to teach us, to guide us into all truth. And that's why we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit once we're done with the book of Matthew in 2028. I think we would all agree that Jesus was not your typical teacher. He adapted so well to different settings that he was in. So what was it that made him so effective? What was he striving to accomplish in his teaching? Well, a lot of teaching can be simply informational. Jesus was shooting for transformation when he taught. One of my boys is now a full-time plumber. As an apprentice, Liam is learning a lot every day. He's working primarily in new construction, installing plumbing lines, plumbing fixtures and stuff in new houses. But he also goes into existing established houses doing repair work and upgrades, like the $700,000 upgrade that he's doing in a house down the street from us. Wrap your mind around that one. A lot of what Liam is learning pushes him to pursue further teaching, further learning on his own. And so Liam spends a fair amount of time in the land of YouTube tutorials. Life has truly changed for our culture with the arrival of videos that can teach you how to fix just about anything. So now I can take the first shot at fixing something myself, break it even worse in the process, and pay even more to have someone come in and now fix two problems. The teaching videos that Liam is watching are meant to inform. There's not a lot of heart transformation taking place when Liam learns new ways to plumb in a bidet, okay? Did Jesus ever teach to inform? Yeah, of course he did. Of course he did. Jesus was teaching people, especially Gentiles, starting from ground zero. They knew very little of God's laws. Sometimes Jesus was simply informing them of what God wanted or even what the Old Testament scriptures said. But his aim was transformation of both heart and mind. Now, the people of Israel had been informed of God's laws for centuries. They learned them through methods like scribes teaching in the temple, like I mentioned, parents teaching at home. Israelite children memorized some significant portions of the Old Testament. They learned a lot in their lifetimes. But Jesus was going to take the learning of the law even to a completely different level. Remember that Jesus didn't come to simply do away with the law. He came to fulfill the law. He said that himself. Jesus came to embody the law. He was going to do more than just teach the law. He was going to model for everyone the heart and mind behind the law. While the scribes could teach the letter of the law, Jesus would now embody the law, living it out in its fullness, in 3D. Jesus would bring the law to life with his own life. He would live out God's intent for the law. Instead of just seeing or hearing God's law on paper or taught in an informative way, the world would now see the law come to life in the person of Jesus Christ. God would teach them, would teach us through every dimension of the life of Jesus. What a privilege it is to be alive at this time in God's history, at this time in God's plan. We have a lot to be thankful for. You and I have been invited right now and every day to tune into the voice of God and experience his teaching through Jesus. Because today, God's word is alive. It is not static. Jesus is not done teaching. For this part of our study of the book of Matthew, I've dug into several resources that I haven't used for other parts of this study because they're very specific to the parables. Right now, one of the resources I'm absorbing is a book by Dallas Willard called The Scandal of the Kingdom. It's all about Jesus' parables. Willard sees just how much the parables of Jesus were meant to revolutionize the way that we see the kingdom of God. He gets this idea that we're being invited to tune in to God's voice directly through God himself as we examine the Bible. This is one small part of what he writes about the idea of being tuned into God. This is from the book. He writes this: when we begin to seek the word of God, we will become the kind of people who are able to hear God's voice. We shouldn't expect his word to be only a to-do list. Most of what God will say to us will provide insights that shine a light on what's happening in and around us. The gentle word of God, which we increasingly learn to recognize, is something we will not hear if we don't listen with care. We simply won't recognize it. The practices Jesus modeled within the spiritual life are important means for us to grow in this and other areas of our lives. They are ways of listening and desiring to truly hear. Being attuned to hearing God's word and receiving it into the fertile soil of our lives comes from lives marked by friendship with and confidence in God. The kind of personal relationship between ourselves and God that we find demonstrated in the Bible is a with God life. The eternal kind of life lived in conversational relationship with God. It is a life of abiding in Jesus Christ, where we bear much fruit, shine before men, and where our works give glory to our Heavenly Father. We have to remember that John introduces Jesus' arrival as the Word becoming flesh. That's much more than just a written word. That's Jesus. And we have been invited by Jesus into a relationship with him where we learn directly from him as our teacher, just as the people that he interacted with face to face did. Jesus' teaching went so far beyond the teaching that had been done before his arrival. One of the ways in which his teaching went further was to include the use of parables. And the understanding of those parables would depend on a relationship with the one who spoke them. Jesus invited us into a process of learning, not just a one-and-done experience of being informed. And that learning comes directly from him. We've been invited into lifelong growth and understanding that's going on all the time. Parables transform. That's a process. They don't just inform. The pictures and thoughts Jesus gave us don't ever stop growing. That's what we're to ask for, is to be involved with Jesus in that growth process as he teaches us. In your bulletin, there is an insert there. Take a look at that at some point. On it is a list of resources to get you started if you want to dig into the whole parable subject more. There are many, many, many more resources out there. This is just a sampling. There are resources listed for personal growth, including things like books and podcasts. There are family resources and resources for kids. Check it out. Check out some of the things on the list. You can just Google them to figure out where they're coming from, where you want to get them from if you want them. This is worth exploring, church. Don't let it stop here in a half-hour period on a Sunday morning. We're going to keep exploring this in the coming weeks as we unpack some parables together. But go after this on your own as well. There's so, so much there. All right, before we go any further, let's define what a parable is. The word used in the Greek actually means to cast alongside. I love that. To cast alongside. As Jesus introduces the kingdom, and that is Matthew's main theme in the book that we're studying together, he provides his listeners with a variety of things that he uses to give them a vision, to give them a picture of the kingdom. Old Testament law already gave them the boundaries for the kingdom. Jesus casts alongside that law some amazing pictures of what the heart and mindset of the kingdom look like. He gives them a portrayal of the kingdom to go with the nature and the history of the kingdom that they already understood. Jesus' parables often start with similar words. There's definitely similarities there. We'll see the words "the kingdom is like," or "the kingdom is not like." Or we'll see the words "the kingdom may be compared to" in Jesus' parables. And Jesus uses literary tools like analogies, similes, metaphors, comparisons, contrasts, illustrations of all kinds, and much more, casting those alongside his teaching so effectively. He even starts some of these parables with a question. He says, "What do you think?" Last Sunday, Jake Truman brought us a message about the parable of the two sons. That's how Jesus started that parable. What do you think? Jesus took the people's current understanding of the kingdom of God and brought it to life with parables. They had received the principles for hundreds of years. Now they were receiving the heart and mind of the kingdom through Jesus. Now, all of this was new, even to Jesus' disciples. Some of these parables were so confusing, so hard to understand, and they still can be. So the disciples asked Jesus why he was teaching like this. And that's what we're going to look at now. What was Jesus' response to his disciples when they asked that? Turn to Matthew chapter 13. Jesus had started down the parable road by telling them a story that we're going to look at together next week. It's the parable of the sower. It talks about the different soils, that kind of thing. Following that, this happens. Matthew chapter 13, verses 10 to 17. Then the disciples came and said to him, to Jesus, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" And he answered them, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For to the one who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. This is why I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. Indeed, in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled that says, 'You will indeed hear, but never understand, and you will indeed see, but never perceive. For this people's heart has grown dull, and with their ears they can barely hear, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and turn, and I would heal them.' But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For truly I say to you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it." See, Jesus knew that his words were going to cause a lot of confusion for some people and even rejection by some. There would be some among God's people who would close their minds to any further understanding of the kingdom, especially from Jesus. There was no way that they would receive what he offered. And this was not a new reality. God had spoken through his prophets about this. So Jesus quotes Isaiah here, and he knows the hearts of some of the Israelites. Their rejection would be so total that they would not turn. They would not choose to pursue the truth that Jesus brought them. And the end of their story would not be a happy one. Jesus' desire was always that they would turn and accept what he offered. That's what he wanted for all of them. He just knew that not all of them would receive it. Matthew goes on to write more about Jesus' use of parables later in Matthew 13, in verses 34 and 35, where he writes this: "All these things Jesus said to the crowds in parables. Indeed, he said nothing to them without a parable. This was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet: 'I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter what has been hidden since the foundation of the world.'" Jesus was bringing to his people, to all of creation, a revelation that hadn't been seen before then. It was a revelation of his kingdom. And I can never overemphasize the importance of our seeing and understanding that kingdom. The kingdom of God is our eternal reality. This temporary earthly experience is merely preparing us for an eternity of enjoying the fullness of God's kingdom forever. That's what we were created for. When Jesus teaches about his kingdom, we have got to tune in. And sometimes it's going to require a little digging and a little perseverance for us to get it. In fact, that could go on for our entire lives, and that's okay. It's a process. But it's so worth it. And Jesus said that himself. In verse 16, he told his disciples, "But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear." That's what Jesus wants for us. His words in today's passage can come across a bit harsh on the surface, but his desire has always been that all will receive what he offers. Everyone. He invites all to enter and experience his kingdom. Rejecting that invitation is going to lead to some very powerful and heartbreaking consequences. I want to issue a little challenge to you as I close this message, and I shouldn't use the word little. It's kind of an intimidating challenge, all right? I want to challenge you to write a parable yourself. I challenge you to cast something alongside another thing. Use your creative writing skills. Use your imagination. Start with something like this. The blank, and we'll fill that in a second, the blank of God is like or can be compared to. And fill that blank in. The love of God is like, the grace of God, the power of God. Even take a shot at the kingdom of God as you understand it. And if you're feeling super courageous, email it to me, because I'd love to see what God lays on your heart and on your mind as you come up with this. Get into the spirit of what Jesus was doing. Challenge yourself. Challenge your understanding of how you might communicate these things to somebody else. The use of parables by Jesus was an invitation. Don't ever forget that. It was an invitation to a fuller understanding of the kingdom that he invites you and me into. Jesus wants us to see. He wants us to hear. And he even offers to work in us through his spirit to give us that understanding. There's no good reason for us to refuse that offer. So as we journey through the parables, invite Jesus to do that work in you. Ask him to show you more of his kingdom. Ask him for that vision. Ask him for that understanding, that picture that he gives us. He will never stop growing your understanding and your experience of his kingdom. That will be a part of our existence from now on into eternity. What an incredible privilege that is. Will you pray with me now, and we'll close our service here with one last song. Let's pray. And invite you to take just a second now as you come before God's throne, as you come face to face with God, as you come face to face with Jesus, the one who spoke these parables, and just say, "Jesus, teach me. Open my eyes. Open my ears. I want to understand." And God, that is truly our desire as we work our way through the parables that Jesus taught. We want an ever-expanding, ever-clarifying picture, vision of your kingdom. Help us to realize that where we're at, wherever we're at, right now in our lives, we are not fully experiencing your kingdom. We got part of it. You have given us part of it. But as we work our way towards that day when Jesus comes back and we enter into the full experience of your kingdom, God, transform us on that road. Fill our hearts with the heart of your kingdom. Fill our minds with the thoughts, the mindset of your kingdom. Shape us as individuals, shape us as a church. God, please transform us so that every time we open the Bible, every time we open another parable and look at it, we see something more, we see something new. We get a fuller picture of what Jesus is showing us. Father, I do lift up our mission trip team as they start today to do ministry for their time there. Just fill them with your Spirit. Even in that process of serving, open their eyes, open their ears. Help them to see what you want them to see, to hear what you want them to hear, and to be transformed in the process. And for every single one of us, God, whatever we're facing, whatever circumstance we find ourselves in, use those circumstances. Use every corner of our lives to transform us. Thank you for giving us the parables. Thank you for giving us the resources that we need to dig into them, to see more, to hear more. God, walk us through this journey. We are yours, and we want to abide in Christ and depend on his teaching for guidance, for wisdom, for hope, for all that we need in life. We are disciples of Jesus Christ. Transform us more and more into his likeness. And we pray this in his name, in the name of Jesus Christ, our teacher. Amen.